Hello again, everyone. It's great to be with you here this morning. Have you ever left somewhere? So it might have been this church here in Bendigo, or a workplace. It might have been a town or a city where you've lived. And then you've come back and you've wondered, what's changed? What's different? Earlier this year, I had that question, and we may just go to the slides. Yep, perfect. I had that question in my mind earlier this year. I returned to Tyr. I'd last worked there 11 years ago. So in February, went back, and that morning, first day, went to the bathroom, as you do, and saw this certificate in the men's bathroom and thought, that's really weird. Read a little closer and then thought, okay, that does make sense. So this is a certificate that is celebrating and recognising a particular district in Nepal, Darjeeling District, and acknowledging that it is now an open defecation-free zone. Try saying that 10 times. In other words, what that means is everybody in that district, so I imagine it's around Bendigo, now has access to a toilet. I was actually a bit shocked and surprised. And it's because I suddenly realised that I'd actually visited this district in 2008 with a group of other Christians as part of a Tyr Australia Deep trip, which is a development, education, exposure program trip. And suddenly the conversations that I had that I'd had with communities and families during that time, they all came flooding back. I remember mums and dads saying how difficult it was for them to survive, for their kids weren't going to school because their kids had diarrhoea. And mums and dads feeling guilty that they weren't able to provide an income for their families because they were also sick as well. So I visited this community with others and just spent time, and our hearts were heavy to hear how impactful it can be to not have a toilet to go to, and the health risks and the diseases that are that transpire from that. This part of Nepal is a gloriously beautiful part of the world. Who's been to Nepal here? Yeah. It's spectacularly beautiful. We're right in the Himalayas here, pretty much all year round. There's snow on the mountains. It's just west of Kathmandu, the capital, Darjeeling district. On a human development index, it's pretty poor. It's like 41st out of 75 districts in Nepal in terms of income, education and health. And yet the communities and the families we spoke to back then, you know, 11, 12 years ago, although they were living in desperate poverty, the hopes and the dreams I had for their kids were exactly the same that I had for mine. Funny that. They told us, though, that when they needed to go to the toilet, it was always outside. It was in the field, it was in water courses, it was in bushes. Some of you, or a lot of you that know Tyr Australia, you will know that the way that Tyr works is through partnership. It's through partnership with Indigenous Christian organisations in places like Nepal. And one of our partner organisations in Nepal that is working in this district called Darjeeling is called Shanti Nepal. If you read our material, our Tyr magazine, I've got a few copies out there. In recent times, we interviewed the founder and the CEO of Shanti Nepal. His name is Krishna. And he shares with us that he visited a community in this district and said, we'd love to come alongside you and help you with some of the challenges that you have. And the community said to him, go away. We don't want to hear. We don't want outside help. We've had help before. We don't trust you. Other people have taken our money. And so as a response to that, in a really gentle way, Shanti Nepal, this organisation, provided a staff member who moved into the village in a really quiet way and lived alongside the community, built up relationships, built up trust. And then when that trust was high, the staff member said to the community, asked them, what's the one thing that you would like to change in your community? Unanimously, they said, we're absolutely sick of living in a filthy place. This is not us. This dirt, this grime is not who we want to be. We want our village cleaned up. And so over time, there was a community meeting that was set up, and through some help, self-help groups, small groups of those local members, community members, were set up so that there would be ownership and accountability as some activities and programs took place. Before too long, there was a sanitation campaign that was set up, and within about 5 months, that community, which had 154 households, and they actually before that had access to only 6 toilets, it's a little like the MCG on footy day, within 5 months, every household had access to a toilet such as the one you can see on the screen. Pretty basic for us, but life-changing. The community also felt much better about themselves. They started to clean up their backyards, their laneways and the piggeries. And the outcome of all this, they said, we now feel good about ourselves. And more importantly, we feel worthy. Other community members in other villages are actually coming to our village to visit us again. We don't feel dirty. Interestingly enough, there's a hospital nearby there as well, and the hospital staff said, what's going on in your village? We used to see you all the time with diarrhea and skin conditions. We don't see you anymore. So that's real testament that real change and transformation had occurred. So on that first day back at Tier in February this year, I felt that it was exciting. I felt affirmed that the work of Tier had gone on from strength to strength, that the kind of work that communities like yours here in Bendigo have been faithful to and committed in supporting and prayerful for so many years, that relationship-based work that Tier's partners are doing had gone on. And within the space of a decade, I had seen that this whole community was celebrating that they were an open defecation-free zone. So what happens in a community when it's declared that everybody has access to a toilet? Well, they celebrate. So on the screen you can see a typical image or activity of community members all getting together, and you know, this is a typical terraced hillside in that part of Nepal, and they're on their way to a community celebration to meet with the water and sanitation health coordinators and local government officials to basically celebrate and that they no longer are at risk of developing these conditions. And so this certificate that Tier Australia has, which is specifically a thank you to Tier, it really kind of enlivened my heart and made me feel that my move back to Tier after doing a bunch of other things over the last decade was absolutely a great place and a great thing to be doing. Tier is about transformation, and you'll know that, or you may know that Tier, T-E-A-R, the T in Tier stands for transformation. And that's a reflection or built out of our understanding that God cares for the whole of his creation, the whole of humanity and the whole person, mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally. Tier started nearly 50 years ago, so I think we look pretty good for close to 50. We started off responding to emergencies and disasters, but quickly realised that people are trapped and kept in poverty, often because of systems, behaviours and habits, either manifested by us as people just living supposedly innocently, but also through multinational companies and the way that they operate their businesses as well. But more than an aid and development agency, Tier also provides a space, and that's how I first became involved with Tier. 2002, my son was 7 at the time, and I had heard about World Water Day, so I think it's the 6th of March. I took my son to the banks of the Yarra, the muddy Yarra, with some buckets, and it was a tear activity, and it was around simulating the experience that millions of people around the world go through, mainly women and often girls go through, carrying water on their heads for kilometres often a day so that their families have, not even fresh water, but just water to drink. So for me, that tactile activity of, in a really small way, identifying with communities who are doing it tough but hard working, had a critical impact on my life. And so I wanted to be part of what God was doing there. TIER also provides this space. So I kind of joined the TIER movement, for want of a better term, and it's a space where like-minded Christians can connect with one another, encourage one another, understand, go deeper into God's call for us to love and serve each other and our neighbours. And so TIER does that in a bunch of ways, some of the resources that we provide, TIER groups, and also, for example, the Justice Conference, which TIER organises. So this is the 5th year, so that's happening in Melbourne this coming weekend. Maybe some of you are going down there to hear from some leading voices from around the world around how we can continue to be part of what God's doing. When we look at the landscape in Nepal, in this Darjeeling province, and we're up near the Himalayas, the landscape is nothing like around here, nothing like Victoria at least. The hills are 500 metres through to mountains of 7,400 metres. The snow-capped mountains popping above, emerging above the clouds, take you to another place and time, and we're in awe looking at that creation, in awe of God's creation. And yet in the foreground, there's desperate poverty in the communities in those villages. And it's such a juxtaposition. It messes with my brain to see beauty and yet brokenness in that beautiful place. And I think that's a poignant, relevant kind of analogy to where we are today in history. We are faced every morning, whether we listen to the radio, see on our, mobile phones, watch the news, we hear of poverty, we hear of homelessness, we hear of the effects of climate change. We may have someone living in our own home who has mental illness and is struggling. Whatever it might be, we are reminded every day that life is not as God intended. And yet at the same time, we have this hope, this promise from God that he promises to restore our world, to actually bring the world back, that his kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven. And so this mountain, this mountainous range, which pokes its head up above the brokenness in that world, gives us a glimpse that God's kingdom is emerging, that we're getting glimpses of it, even though we are still living in the brokenness of it. We read Romans earlier before, and Paul reflects on in that book of Romans around the brokenness and the present sufferings then and still now that creation and us as humanity experience. And yes, we groan. The creation groans. We groan because despite amazing progress in the last 25 years of hundreds of millions of people coming out of poverty around the world, and that's to be celebrated, there's still a billion people who are trapped in unnecessary poverty. They're not flourishing, they're not living to their potential. We're also reminded as well in so many ways that the world's life support systems are struggling. We see that through the cities are getting larger. And I just read this morning online that, get this, Australia does not have one single city that has a sustainable a plan that it's operating before it. So we are living for today. We are using today's resources. We're running out of water. Our population is booming and we don't have a sustainable path forward. our world is crying out for God's kingdom to come. What I find really interesting in what Paul says is the word waiting in there. I often equate the word waiting to, I'll just kind of sit back, wait for someone else, wait for something to happen, wait for God to do his thing. But Paul actually talks about waiting eagerly and in expectation, with expectation. So I find what Paul says is not only challenging, but it's also an invitation for me and for us to participate in what God is doing. God is partnering with us. He wants us to partner with him for his kingdom to come about, for things to be set right again. And so far from kind of sitting back and waiting that down the track this new world will come, and yes, it will, God wants his hope to be manifested today in our community, in your community here in Bendigo, in Melbourne, in Australia, and also, for example, through the communities that Tia is reaching out to. If we look at verse 21, it talks about the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. And so this bondage to decay, we see that. We see it through poverty, homelessness. I've been a youth worker in Melbourne, in the wealthiest suburbs of Melbourne, and you're driving along highways and on you don't see this because there's barriers to keep the noise down for the houses on either side. But if you take 2 minutes to take the car around, you're still, today, I can take you and show you mattresses where young people have left home because they have nowhere to go. They've been kicked out. They've actually got money, but they are feeling hopeless and helpless and that no one believes in them. So I think it's a challenge for us to see that this broken world is not only overseas where Tier is operating, but it's also locally here as well. And so when Paul talks about people groaning and the creation groaning, I can really appreciate and that really resonates with me. And Paul talks about this kind of interconnectedness between God the Creator, his creation, and also humanity. So as believers, a little like we can see the Himalayas, that image of the snow-capped mountains, and we think life's not so bad after all. There is beauty in the world, and we can see that as an analogy of the promise and the hope that God has given us that there will be a new day, a new world. With that promise, as people who know that promise and hold that in our hearts, how can we be hopeful and a hope for people in our community today? How can we be a people of hope? Tia has been wrestling with that question for 48 years. People who have engaged with Tia for 48 years have been wrestling with that question. As people of hope, how do we practice that? How do we demonstrate that? Tears' mission is about coming alongside communities, not in a we will do development to you, but more about we want to be friends with you, we want relationship with you, we want to listen to you, we want to understand how we can together with you help you find solutions to your problems, whether it's sickness, whether it's lack of income, adaptation to the effects of climate change, whatever that might be, and helping them flourish and have wholeness of life. And so similarly, that partnership is something that this expression of God's church here in Bendigo, you've had that with Tia for over 25 years. I've done my research and it looks like it's about 25 years. I stand to be corrected. If there's those of you that have been supporting and engaging with us for longer than that, come and see me later and correct me. But you've been doing that through faithful prayer, through giving, financial giving. You might have even been on one of our trips to Nepal or to India. you might have bought through our useful gift catalogue, which you'll be, again, having coming up to later this year or in a couple of weeks. So through that, here's just a couple of ways, two or three ways that you can continue to engage with TIER and be part of that partnership with TIER and also with God in setting things right and bringing hope to people who are hardworking but have found themselves living in desperate situations. So the useful gift catalogue, which I know Brian is a bit of a champion for, what I've done this year is introduced a new gift in there. It's called A Sustainable Future. And if you buy that gift, the proceeds from that gift support communities who are needing to adapt to the effects of climate change and helping them be more resilient. And of course there's some old favourites in there as well. There's the goats and the chickens, which help families build up a little business, generate an income and provide for their families. There's also we also have a rubbish campaign. Now that may sound a little weird. We do call it a rubbish campaign. And the story behind this is there's been a recent report that suggests that or indicates that at least one person every 30 seconds is dying from health conditions caused by pollution. And often from the open air burning or incineration of plastic waste. Sounds a bit remote, but as TIER, we're not just looking at the immediate effects of poverty, but we're actually looking carefully at the systemic causes, things that are behind the scenes that are keeping people sick. Sir David Attenborough has also got behind this report as well and has highlighted that the pollution from open-air incineration of plastics is killing people in developing countries. And so what TIER is doing through this rubbish campaign is asking people such as yourselves to sign a petition. So I have a petition card out there that you can come and grab later on and fill that out. What we're asking for is for you to sign a petition which we're lobbying for multinational companies. They include Unilever, Nestle, Coca-Cola and PepsiCo. Those companies are alone responsible for significant production, manufacture of single-use plastic containers in developing countries. In fact, as an example, Coke sells more Coke in South Africa these days than it does in the UK. And so what's happening is without all of the resources and the systems in place to recycle, the only way that the communities who are living in poverty in developing countries can dispose of this waste is either through burning it or burying it. So I really encourage you to jump on board that campaign as well. You can either fill out a petition here or go to our website /rubbish and you'll see the petition there. Last but not least, I would encourage you also, if you have the time and also the resources, I'd really encourage you to join us on a trip at some stage to see firsthand, to meet with the communities that TIER is reaching out to, the communities that you are supporting through your prayer and through your finances. There's nothing like sitting on the dirt floor of a family in Nepal, not feeling sorry for them, not feeling guilty for them, but connecting with them as a fellow human, listening to their story and hearing that their hopes and dreams are exactly the same as you have for your kids and the same that you have for your grandkids. It restores your hope that you can do something. It reminds you that God wants us to partner with him in so many ways to bring hope and fullness to our whole world. So in conclusion, I want to thank each of you and this church here in Bendigo for your long-term faithful support in so many ways. I really encourage you to continue that. If you're unable to give, continue to pray for TIER and also for the other mission organisations that you support as well, who will all be doing amazing work. Without your prayer and your support, we wouldn't be able to do it. So thank you very much.